Ladies and gentlemen, everyone out there, I am so excited for today. I have had actually an amazing day when I'm recording the intro, but I just re-listened to the entire episode with Sam Capert, who I am bringing you all. He is such a wonderful human being that I unexpectedly was introduced to just this past few months. So back in January 2024, if you're listening to this live, or in the course of the year, and we hit on so many amazing topics that I don't even know where to start or how to fully introduce this, but it went everything from hearing a little bit about Sam's past and how he came about and found breathwork and so many other modalities, but how he is a breathwork facilitator, how he was very out of integrity when he found this, and it was not instant, but very quickly came to realize how important breathwork was in his life. And now he facilitates it. He has written a book that is coming out. Again, if you're listening to this live, the book is coming out in just a few weeks. I have attached in the show notes his website so you can find out when. If you're listening to it in the future, after I would say May of 2024, then the book is already out. So please head down there still to check it out as he dives into his six-step breath process. It's six steps, is the acronym breath, BREATH. He dives into exactly what that means and is very simply put. So you can be doing this any time of day, whenever you are starting to feel an emotion that you might need to or probably should process. But his mission is probably one of my favorites because it is about eradicating the glorification of hustle culture. And I think many of you out there understand this idea of hustle culture, and we are seeing it, and everyone has mixed feelings about it, but he wants to eradicate it. And he talks about why. He talks about how you can connect with him if you are feeling this way and ready to work through that. If you are a business, you have a business, you work in a corporation, how you can maybe bring this into your corporation as well, because breathwork is just amazing and something I have learned more and more about. I've experienced breathwork journeys. I have experienced just how breathwork in general and just using your breath to work through anxiety, stress, overwhelm can help you. And you just have to take the action and know where to start and where to find and where to learn. And this is a great place to start. He breaks down what breathwork is, why we do it, how you can do it, implementing it daily, and then how you can obviously work with him. But just listen in, soak it all in, because Sam is just amazing at bringing it down to a level that we can all understand. And I know I am one of many who appreciate that when it's so many different terms out there that we just get confused and you hear about breathwork all over the place nowadays. It's becoming more and more popular. So listen in, enjoy this episode, learn about what breathwork really is, how you can do it even without having to hire someone, or how you can even find someone in your community. You can reach out to Sam. You can even reach out to me and ask questions as I am experiencing this. So excited. And let's go ahead and jump right into the show. Welcome to the Imperfectly Impactful podcast. My name is Catherine, and I am a proud, high-achieving woman overcoming the relentless pursuit of perfection and weight of people-pleasing. Come with me as we discover how embracing your imperfections can lead to immense growth and enable you to make a difference in your life and the lives of others. From candid conversations to empowering stories, I will guide you to unleash your full potential and craft your unique path to impact. Join me every week as we celebrate imperfection, cultivate self-acceptance, and prove that even the most imperfect journeys can lead to the most impactful destinations. So let's get started. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Imperfectly Impactful podcast. I am excited. I think every time I have a guest on, but this one especially was a wonderful, beautiful connection, unexpected, that I made. And today I have Sam Capert on, and I believe I said your name correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we met actually in my previous job. So I was an event manager. We met at a huge expo out in Vegas. Just happenstance, you were coming in to do a breathwork session. And that's part of what you do is you are a breathwork facilitator, but there is so much more to your story, who you are, what you do. And we connected and started talking. And I'm excited to have you on the podcast today to share your new book that's coming out, a lot about what you've experienced, how you found breathwork. And more in general, just how life has changed for you when you've gone through this huge transformation on what you thought was going to be your life and make you happy, and then kind of realizing you weren't feeling fulfilled and all the changes you've made to this point and still going through. So, Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Kat. Stoked to be here with you. And yeah, that was very much a synchronistic and meant to be connection out there in Vegas at the PPI show. So excited to be here with you.
Yes, me as well. So, to share a little bit with the listeners, I know we've gotten to know each other. There's a lot to unpack, I think, in everything that's happened. But could you share a little bit about that moment when you realized what you were doing in your previous job? And you've always been an entrepreneur. So, kind of what you were doing as that entrepreneur in your business role, that moment you realized something wasn't right. And then what did you start doing to discover ultimately and figure out what was off and what you needed to do to move forwards?
Yeah, it's such a great question and place to start. Thank you for asking. So back then, I had the personal brand name of Swag Sam, and I'll try to keep the story short because I have a tendency to just go on. So I'll pause
All
between
good.
them. Cool. So my parents have an office supply company, and about 5% of their business is doing promotional products, branded merchandise. So I grew up going to office supply conferences and even some local, what I call swag shows, branded merch promotional product shows. I won't get into the story of how I fell into that industry because that's a whole nother story, but I got into the industry of promotional products. Then I started my own business, and then I started doing some office supply sales for my parents' business as well. And back in like 2012, I think I was like a year into the business, I went to an office supply conference, and most at the time, office supply, independently owned, family owned businesses, as opposed to Staples, Depot, or Max, and I don't even know if they're even really around anymore.
You.
Yeah, not really, right? But anyways, a lot of the people there were selling traditional office supplies, and that includes furniture as well, and like print management software and copiers and things like that. And I just couldn't relate because I sold promotional products. And one of the girls there jokingly called me Swag Sam. So I would like joke around with some friends or whatnot. I chaired a young professionals group in Silicon Valley, and I would joke around, yeah, my name's Swag Sam. But then when I got into content creation in 2017 and started my first podcast, that's when I owned the Swag Sam brand. I wrote 3 books in a year. They're a little bit larger font, and some worksheets and things like that, and about 100 pages. So they weren't like, super in-depth books, but like still books and business books. And I mean, that was a lot, right? Write your first book and then 2 more in the next year. It just kind of happened. And I started to love content creation in addition to the Swag Sam brand in the promotional products industry. I started to get tagged on different social media posts as the VA guy, as in virtual assistants. And I started to see a lot of people asking questions about how to work with VAs and freelancers. And I never necessarily wanted to be like the VA guy, but it just the market dictated that, if you will. And, yeah, so that was a lot going on between running my business on the board of 2 nonprofits, chairing a young professionals event. I end up switching my business to a freelancer-based business model, hit $1 million in sales, was named to Silicon Valley's 40 Under 40 list. I was in a toxic relationship on and off for 4 years. Like, no joke, we probably broke up like 50 times. And I was very much out of my own integrity because the relationship was not anything neither of us should have ever been in. And for me, I was out of integrity in that she was a cheerleader for my favorite team, the 49ers, and I thought that was cool. And then I end up falling in love with her, which was really more lust, and that whole story of on and off of relationships. So in a lot of ways, it was the final ending of that relationship that got me onto the spiritual path of feeling this numbing depression. And then a breathwork journey found me, which I'm sure you've shared with your listeners, breathwork journeys, and no psychedelics, no other medicine, no nothing else, just my breath literally felt reborn. And then a week after that, I end up doing ayahuasca, which is a psychedelic medicine known for healing. And that was the thing where I was like, okay, I need to make some massive shifts in my life. That's when I got out of the toxic relationship for good. I moved from Silicon Valley to the beach in Santa Cruz, about an hour away. I started to dream up different types of businesses that I could do instead of selling promotional products. I've always enjoyed selling swag or promotional products, but it was very stressful, and I was tired of taking on the mistakes of the factories that we work with, because at the end of the day, like, we're responsible as a middleman, as a distributor, but you work so hard in getting a client, and then, someone else messes it up, and you just do your best to salvage the situation. And it's just so much stress from the client's end to their end users, to the middleman that I am, and the suppliers. And I started to see the role of marketing and consumerism and all that. And it wasn't so much materialism, or it wasn't so much consumerism. It was more materialism, meaning outsourcing your emotional well-being in like a brand, where I was like, I don't want to play in this game anymore. And that's when I went really deep on my own mental health and spiritual journey. So there it is.
That was perfect. Now, leading right after that, who is Sam today then? After all of that, going through realizing that you needed to dive deeper into yourself and into this whole spirituality, who are you today? How would you explain yourself?
Yeah, it's a good question. Have you gotten into Ram Dass's work yet?
Not much, no. I've
Yeah,
heard of him.
Ram Dass is incredible. There's a documentary, I think it's called Becoming Nobody, and there's a audiobook that's like a gathering of his different talks, also called Becoming Nobody. And I think it's very common in the spiritual journey to get to a place of almost dissociation of becoming. I love Ram Dass and I believe in all his work, but I think it's common when we first start on our path to almost disassociate. And like, that's where I was a few years ago, being like, I no longer really resonate with the ego, meaning like not my confidence levels, but like the personality and identification of Sam. And it was so much larger than that. But there was a disassociation going on where, had you asked me that question a few years ago, it would have been answered like something more along the lines of not identifying with these labels. Where I'm at now is more of an embodiment of my message of soul life balance, which is a blending of the archetypal energies of yin and yang. Realizing that, like, when you ask me that question now, I can say, oh, I'm a keynote speaker, I'm an author, I'm a breathwork facilitator, men's coach, all these integration guide, all these different sorts of labels. But I'm still like, that's not the answer either, because those are still labels. Like, for me, and it's a difficult question to answer, and it's a big one, right? I would say, like, rather than answering it very succinctly, I could demonstrate like what my mission is and what I'm so passionate about, and that is to eradicate the glorification of hustle culture. Because I think there's so much glorification in trying harder, working longer, working harder, which I know you resonate with all this,
Oh, 100%. And I think many of the
right?
listeners do too. This world we
Yeah.
live in.
But that's it. It's, like, if we can all do our part to speak our truth and take action on our truth, just as you're doing right now, and it has that ripple effect. But yeah, really, to my who am I is like, I see myself as a leader, like leading this charge of eradicating the glorification of hustle culture through the practice of soul life balance as opposed to work life balance.
I love that is perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for because that's who you are. And I know there's so many labels we put on ourselves, and I think all of us can, we're moms, we're dads, we're parents, we are kids, we're children, and then you have all the labels of life and careers that just, I know that's where I put a lot of my worth into for so long as well. But when it comes down really to like a belief in the mission of who I am or who you are, I think that's so important too. That's the best way to explain ourselves and say who we are today. So thank you, because that was perfect.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thanks.
But so before we dive into a little bit more on everything on this, your mission of eradicating hustle culture, of how you're doing that through breath work and your new book to share and spread this message across not just the country, but the world, because I know it will go big and go far. But for those who might be listening for the first time, I've shared about breath work, but maybe just to give some little explanation, can you explain exactly what breath work is? And there is a variety of ways to explain and different, I know, ways to do it, but explain exactly what it is and why we do it.
Thank you for asking that, Kat, because I'm actually really passionate about this because people will say breath work, and breath work means so many different things to different people. And I think as breath work facilitators, it's really important that if we are practitioners of leading what's called a breath work journey, we use the vocabulary of a breath work journey because that really starts to distinguish the differences between a breath work journey and breath work exercises. So basically, our nervous system is made up of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest and digest, where the sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight. Because of our chaotic culture of our society, most of us are running in a state of stress, anxiety, and overwhelm, which puts us in the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. It's this hustle culture, right? So, for a lot of breathwork exercises, what these different sorts of modalities and practices will do is it helps to shift us into the parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. One that everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people are familiar with is box breathing. And box breathing is simply inhaling up through the nose, holding at the top, then exhaling through the nose or through the mouth, holding at the bottom, and repeating. You can change with the different seconds and time lengths, but the basic rule of thumb, I like to say there's three rules of breathing for rest and digest. The first is elongating your inhales and exhales. So letting your inhales and exhales be long and nourishing. And really, if you can let the exhale be longer than the inhale, that's going to help to shift you into rest and digest. The second rule is nose breathing as opposed to mouth breathing. The author James Nestor did an amazing book called, I believe it's Breathe, it might be Breath, I always forget. But basically what he teaches, and this book spread like wildfire, like it's super popular. And what he teaches is that most of us breathe through our mouth. And it's kind of like if you're not talking right now and your mouth is open, then you'd be a mouth breather. And breathing through your mouth contributes to being in a more ongoing state of fight or flight. So he's got different recommendations. Maybe some of the listeners you guys have seen on your social media feed ads for like tape for your mouth. There's different types of companies that have popped up since his book, maybe even before his book, where there's like a healthy, safe type of way to use a piece of tape. I mean, you could probably just use Scotch tape or whatever to train yourself when you're sleeping to sleep through your nose. Luckily for me, when I was a little kid, every time I went to the dentist, I would gag and I would puke. And it was so, I know, luckily how, but in my adult self, fortunate, right? Because I had to learn to breathe in and out through my nose because I was a mouth breather back then. And I couldn't breathe when they were working on my mouth. So for me, and most people I know, be honest, they don't struggle with breathing in and out of their nose, but the studies and data and research shows a lot of people do. So the second rule, inhaling and exhaling through the nose. What doesn't get talked about as much about this rule is that it's more important to inhale through the nose. The exhale can be through the nose or the mouth, but it's the inhale through the nose that shifts you into rest and digest. That is the parasympathetic
Interesting.
nervous system.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting
I didn't
tidbit.
know that.
Most people don't. I mean, different yoga trainings I've done and breathwork trainings and studying and like picking things up from here or there, different things, right? The third rule is diaphragmatic breathing, or what's called belly breathing. So imagine that you're blowing up a balloon and you're putting air into that balloon. Now, when we inhale, we want to let our belly expand. Basically, a lot of us, when we inhale, will bring our stomach in. And there's two reasons that I personally, in the past, have inhaled and brought my belly to my spine. One, because of societal norms and conditioning. I was a chubbier kid growing up, so I get made fun of for that. So I never want to let my belly be shown. So I'm used to sucking it in, right? A lot of us have struggled with that at some point in our life, especially from a young age, that gets ingrained into your subconscious awareness and your nervous system. So you start to do that without even noticing it. Secondly, let's all just go ahead and inhale through the nose, and then you can exhale it out. And then just noticing as you're listening to this podcast, continue to do slow inhales and exhales, and notice if your belly comes in. If it does come in, there's good reason for that. Because if you're inhaling, think about drawing that breath inward from your nose. It almost makes sense to bring your belly in because you're already inhaling, bringing it in. So it was very counterintuitive for me to learn. It was probably like 6+ years ago to breathe and let my belly expand. So that's the third rule. All these are simple tools, or actually steps, ways to breathe that can help you to be in more rest and digest. They're great different practices, including the cyclic sigh, inhaling all the way up through the nose, sipping in a bit more at the top, exhaling through the mouth. Stanford's lab ran a study basically showing that's more effective than anything else to alleviate stress, anxiety, and overwhelm, not only in the moment, but 24/7 around the clock. So the benefits go with you as well. Now, to your point, Kat, breath work is a trending topic. It's a big term. And if someone just says, like, oh, yeah, I've done breath work, or I do breath work, most likely they're probably talking about the things that we've covered so far, something that puts them into rest and digest. Think of it as going to a yoga class, usually at the beginning or maybe even at the end, sometimes in the middle. There might be alternate nostril breathing, box breathing, or some sort of breath work exercise. So someone will be like, oh yeah, I've done breath work before. And that's true, you have, right? But the breath work journey is next level. Specifically with the breath work journey, the aim is to mimic a stress response or a trauma response. We're putting our nervous system into the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. And the reason is emotions are energy in motion, meaning that if we don't allow ourselves to feel our emotion, that energy gets stored within the body. Same thing works with trauma, and it's a losing battle to compare our trauma, because if we start to compare our trauma, there's two things that happen. Either we're on one side of the fence and we're like, yeah, I haven't experienced much trauma, and we minimize what we have experienced so we don't allow ourselves to feel it. Or we identify as being someone who has experienced a lot of trauma, and now we have a victim mentality, thinking everything's happening to us versus for us. So no matter where you are with trauma, just realize that we all experience trauma, and there's no need to compare it to other people or anyone else. The most important thing to do is to accept these traumas and allow them to move through us. Breathwork journeys, not only do they help to move that stuck energy of daily stressors and pressures and emotions, but also traumatic experiences as well. So it's a certain style of breathing. There's different ways that you can do it, but usually it's going to be something having to do with breathing through the mouth that triggers this trauma response. The body might vibrate. Like, I like to joke and say I'm a vibrator because I'm not shaking. My body is vibrating. Other people might kind of like convulse or shake or roll all over the place. Other people laugh. There's can be a lot of tears, a lot of grief, and all of the different emotions are welcome. It's very much similar to an NDE, a near-death experience, which is why when someone does a breathwork journey, they feel so much lighter afterwards, and they feel like they've moved through all this energy. So that's a breathwork journey, and I've been rambling, so I'll throw it back over to you.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you for explaining that because even I haven't been able to explain it in that way. I think you explain it beautifully and very, I'm not gonna say dumb it down, but you bring it down to a level where everyone can understand though, because I do think there's so many different ways that people do think of breath work. There's different modalities of breath work. Like you said, there's the boxing, but then there's the full journeys where I have now experienced about three of those over the past few months and gone through a whole journey, a whole breathwork session, whatever someone may call it. And it is life-changing because it really does, like you said, you feel almost a weight and almost like something opens up that wasn't there before. And if you have never done it, any of the listeners out there have never gone through a breathwork session, I highly recommend, I mean, connect with Sam, connect with someone in your community. You can do them virtually, you can do them in person. My first one was virtually, and I was in tears and did not know why. Like it finally clicked within hours and days after just what that emotion was. But we suppress our emotions so much in this life and in society that we're told to just deal with it and move on, or nope, can't handle those emotions right now, whether it's to ourselves or someone else telling us that, and we just move on. And then we kind of forget about them, but they're still inside because we didn't process the emotions like you were talking about. So it's so important to be able to do that. And I think I've realized that in just a few months. And it's still hard. I still go through days and weeks where I'm just like, nope, I'm taking it in. And yep, that's it. I'm gonna move on and keep going on with my day because there's too much to do. But we do have to sit with it. And so I know for me personally, I've started doing this weekly, at least trying to go through, even if it's not a full breathwork session or journey, at least getting and trying to drop in and do something to help me realize what are those emotions I've been feeling that maybe I haven't allowed to process. And almost every time I end up crying. I mean, there's something, even if you've worked through it once, there's something still there. I mean, there's just so much of that inner child and everything else that we've been working through and just ingrained into us as we've grown up and been in this world. So, thank you for explaining all of that. Now, tying this into your mission and your values and, you know, really eradicating the hustle culture, I know something very important for you is really trying to bring this awareness of breath work and awareness of mindfulness and mental health awareness into the corporate world and into the businesses and others out there. So, explain a little bit. I know you have your book that really breaks down the 6-step breath process that you have, but I guess explain a little bit of that and how you're wanting to really get into these businesses and really connect with those maybe workers and those employees to help them understand how this could benefit them.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I focus on, to be clear, is yes, I do lead those breathwork journeys, but what I focus on is the simple practices that put us into rest and digest. I personally think that a breathwork journey is really good to do at least once a year, like minimum, maybe once a quarter, maybe once a month, or as you mentioned, Kat, like it's start to do it weekly or something like that if you're really working through something, or if you're newer on it. I think a lot of us, when we're new to these sorts of modalities, we go all in because we have so much that has been stored and we need to release it. But the more you do it, the less you need to do it. That's an important one. The more you do a breathwork journey, the less you need to do it. And breathwork journeys, it's called breathwork because it's work, which is the other reason why I'm kind of like with breathwork, talking about that to activate rest and digest. It's not so much work as it is with breathwork journeys. You can attest to that, Kat, right?
100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's tiring. There's been plenty of times that I've shown up for a breathwork journey and I've just totally checked out and like almost f fell asleep because it's so intense. And Kat and I spoke. She was on my podcast 2 days ago at the time of this recording, and it inspired me to go to a breathwork journey that evening. And
Oh,
I forgot to share
yay.
this with you. Yeah, thank you. And Kat was sharing with the listeners how like she was like, I'm going all in, I'm doing it. And that really inspired me to go into that journey. And it was amazing. And I think that's part of the reason why before we hit record, I was starting to say like there's been some energetic shifts for me. So there you go. The benefits continues to stay with you. Back to your question though, in terms of businesses and professionals. Really, it's about focusing on rest and digest. And I believe the cyclic sigh is the best way to do that. I typically, it's pouring out here this morning, but I like to go to the beach because I live 10-minute walk away, intentionally moved out here for that reason, right? And I go to the beach. I'll do what I call a mini breathwork journey. And I'm not sure if you've come across this, Kat, so I'll share it with you and the listeners. But there's a five, it's like a 2 to 5 minute practice you can do that is what I like to call a microdose version of the breathwork journey. And it's basically inhaling and exhaling through your mouth with no pause in between the inhale and exhale for about a count of 20. And then you hold for about 20 seconds and you can do 3 rounds. You can go 10 counts, 20 counts, 30, 40 counts, however long you want. I typically, when I teach someone, I'll teach them a 10 count of. So if we're doing that for about 10 seconds, holding the breath at the top for about 10 seconds, and then working up to 20-20, then 30-30. And then from there, you start to feel the energy like kind of moving through you. And that only takes a couple minutes. And then from there, just drop into meditation. That's typically my routine. And then I'll jump in the ocean. That works really well for me. But like I said, for the average person that just wants something simple to really help them move throughout their day, the cyclic sigh is a great form of breath work. Specifically in my new book, Overcome the Overwhelm, I'm sharing what I call the 6-step breath process. The word breath is an acronym. And the basic foundation is this. Our body has a 90-second physiological response when we experience an emotion, meaning that if we tighten and we suppress those emotions, that energy gets stored in the body because emotions are energy in motion. They're designed to be in motion. So instead of just like putting on a timer and be like, oh, I feel stressed right now. Let me put on a timer for 90 seconds and just like look at the clock and be like, okay, like 90 seconds, it'll go by. Or instead of noticing that you're stressed or angry or whatever the thing is, and for me, I turn to food to numb and distract myself. Can I soften and lean into that energy to let it move through me? And this is where people are like, yeah, but what do I actually do? And these are the 6 steps. The first step is breathe to slow down. So you're feeling this energy, you're feeling this emotion. Energies are in motion, right? And now all of a sudden, our hearts start, or whatever, or our thoughts are clouded, just ping-ponging back and forth. Slow down. And we can slow down by connecting to our breath. Doesn't need to be anything fancy. It's as simple as just elongating the inhales and the exhales. The second step in the acronym breath is the R. Relax to feel. This is where we're dropping in a little bit deeper and we're focusing on the feeling of relaxation. And this is why I like to teach the cyclic sigh because the first thing is like, okay, I'm triggered. I'm feeling this emotion. Let me slow down. Let me connect to my breath. Now we're going to layer deeper. Maybe I'm doing the cyclic sigh, inhaling all the way up, sipping in a bit more at the top, through the mouth, exhale. And now we're starting to feel some relaxation. We're really softening. And then that goes into the third step, which is energy to reveal. All of these energies are here to reveal something to us. If we can only just get curious, we can find the lesson. So this is getting curious about, okay, what am I feeling? What are these energies? Is there a story around this, right? And this is where most of us struggle. And that's why the fourth step is the A, accept to surrender. Because if we're going deep enough and it's a recurring emotion we feel a lot. This is where we're like, no, I don't really want to feel that right now. I need to compartmentalize this because I don't have time for this. And then when I do put this in a box and compartmentalize it, I'm never actually going to come back to it, right? So that's why we have these recurring emotions and feelings. So this is our time to really transform it. And we can only transform it if we get curious about that energy and we can accept and surrender to it. Now, this is where I start to get very passionate about toxic positivity because a lot of people out there will say, Never entertain a negative thought or feeling. And to do that is to disassociate. It's to numb. It's to distract yourself because that energy is still there. The first four steps of the breath process is the shadow work. In the fifth step, this is now when we have earned the right to get into a positive mindset because we've already alchemized this more negative, dense, and heavy emotion and feeling. So now the T in the breath acronym is transform into an empowering belief. This is an I am statement, not I will be or going to. It's what do I know to be true? And rather than like focusing, I'm using a sales thing, like I am making the desired amount of money, whatever that is, you know, it's like, okay, maybe let's go a layer deeper. Why do you desire that? Is it to feel safe and supported? So maybe the layer deep there is I am always safe and supported or whatever the thing is. Usually a good way to get to your I am statement is go to the opposite of that negative emotion and feeling and story you were going to. And now that you've alchemized that, bring it into something positive. The H is habits to integrate, because none of this will matter if you don't actually make habit and behavioral changes in your life. If you just go through these six steps, you don't really get curious about the story that's being revealed. You don't accept it. You don't really find that empowering belief. And then this is just going to come back and you're going to be like a hamster on a wheel. The other way you can integrate this is the best time to do your positive affirmations are in the morning, in the evening, and with any time that you can get into a theta brainwave state. I won't go into all the specifics, but there are three different forms of beta brainwave states, which are typically how our brain is operating throughout the day. And our brain is not receptive to build new neural connections for new neural networks, which create new habits and behaviors when we're in beta. We need to be in theta for that. So this is where like Dr. Joe Dispenza's work would come in, where it's like, okay, when right before you drift off to sleep and when you wake up, you're naturally in theta. Other ways you can get into theta are through things like meditation, breath work, which is why now it's a good time to say that positive affirmation, because that is the time that the brain is going to be receptive to build and reprogram the subconscious mind.
That is amazing. First, thank you, because I knew most of what the acronym stood for, but I love that you end it with something that is actionable at the end of it, especially because I do think so many of us do. We try all the different modalities. We go put ourselves in rooms. We hear about all the strategies. But those of us that actually take it and put the action and build the habits and build that change, that's when we start to see a difference happening. And we see the changes happening in our lives. And it's not going to be instant, of course, but over time, we slowly start to see the positive application of everything. So I am so excited for this book, because I want to just read it to dive into it a little bit more, because I know you go into so much more detail and talk through it. I am so excited for you to actually get into the businesses and be able to go speak and be that keynote speaker, but just share your work. I know you also have a community that you are doing kind of monthly calls as well as like resources. Can you touch a little bit on how you're bringing that into people's lives as well? So how you're using that community to connect others with you, each other, and then building out from there.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So that community is called the Breath Club, and this is specifically designed for busy professionals that want to really break the habit of being their old self and feel more energized and fulfilled and clear. And the basic structure of this is meeting in real time via Zoom for different sorts of breathwork exercises, including visualizations and, you know, community sharing as well. The other main side of this is a WhatsApp container. Through my time in doing group coaching, integration coaching for folks working with psychedelic medicines for healing, I've really found a good formula. So I'm applying this now to the business community, where it's like, all right, we're going to use this WhatsApp group container because most people do have WhatsApp, and WhatsApp is not really a habit change. So it's like the ongoing little chatter channel where anytime you're looking for support, you can just drop in. And whether it's myself or another member of the community, we're here to support and lift each other up. And I always say, like, when we're feeling something or a certain situation comes up, we might schedule a session with a therapist or some sort of healer that's similar. By the time we get there, it's like, well, I was feeling this way. Now I'm feeling a different way, which is why the WhatsApp community is so crucial, because it's real-time support and it feels like a conversation with your friends, because not only do these people become your friends, but it's a text thread. It's not like going to a Facebook group or downloading like Slack or school or some other community that's not in our habit sense, more of a social media. It's like just a text message exchange. So that works really, really well for people. I also encourage people in the community to get vulnerable and send in videos. Because most of us don't like to see ourselves or hear ourselves or just whatever. And when you do that, right, it, like, you can feel someone's emotions so much more. And it's amazing how people will open up when once they share a video. So that's the Breath Club. This is specifically designed for busy professionals. It's like, really about regulating the nervous system, learning how to apply the six-step breath, going deeper on brainwave states or any of the different topics you'd be interested in. My YouTube channel, Kat, you'd get a kick out of this. It's called Spirituality Simplified. I really think that one of my powers is to take more complex topics and really make it accessible for everyone and just make it easy to digest,
That's awesome. Well, and I wanted to bring up the community just because I do feel like so many people, you talk through your six-step breath process and, the acronym, but so many people are going to listen to this and may or may not do anything with it. And this is a way to hold yourself accountable and to making sure that you start the process and you have someone to support you. Because I do think that's where a lot of people lack is they don't know where to go to start this, aside from maybe reach out in their community, find someone online, but then it's virtual. So do I really? But when you start adding in everything you're providing into this breath club, I think it's amazing because it is that accountability. It is the support and it's that instant I can message and we can communicate back and forth, which I think is so important nowadays versus trying to get that, affirmation or whatever it is off of social media or wherever they may be going. It's just not the same. So I'm excited. And that's why I want to hit on that after we talk through breath, because it's like, well, where do I go next? What do I do next? Well, there's a way, and there's a way to hold yourself accountable. Because I will be honest, that's me. I need something or someone to hold me accountable when it comes to these things. Because I will get wrapped up back in my to-do list and the everyday busyness. And I just bring it back down and go, yep, I'll deal with that later. But learning that we have to process those emotions in the moment and how important that is. So you've got Breath Club, you've got your YouTube channel, your book is coming out. When this podcast is released, it should be coming out in the following kind of few weeks. Well, how else can people connect with you?
Yeah, my website, samkabert.com. That's KAB as in boy, ERT, samkabert.com. Pretty active on LinkedIn and Instagram. Don't really do the other social medias as much, but feel free to reach out. And all my contact information's at my website. My email's easy. It's sam@samkabert.com for free 15-minute complimentary sessions if you're working through something and you just want some advice. And yeah, we can all lift each other up. Oh, this is what I want to mention, lighthouses. I'm very passionate about this concept of lighthouses. So one of the things in the WhatsApp and in my training programs that I teach to people is like, hey, none of us are necessarily a guru, right? Like, I don't think I know everything. And if I'm going to learn from someone that is teaching, like, what I call soul development or even personal development, if they have any like aura of, I know everything and this is the way, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm going to go the other way. And what I'm most passionate about is teaching people first how to hold space for themselves. And in the process, to hold space for other people. So when I mentioned the WhatsApp container, like the therapist thing, you might be thinking like, well, Is anyone in that group like actually like certified to be saying like or hold space for other people? Part of what I'm teaching is it's a training ground to learn how to facilitate holding space for other people, reflection, shares, co-listening, saybacks, and reflection. So that's another thing I meant to touch on. But yeah, you can get a hold of me at samcabert.com.
Okay, I love it. Well, any last words or anything you want to touch on before I let you go?
Yeah, I would just invite everyone listening to focus on your inhales and exhales when you're in conversation with another person, because most of us struggle with thoughts just going back and forth through our day. And then when someone else is talking, thinking about what we're going to say next. If you can focus on your inhales and exhales when someone else is talking, not only is it going to slow down the mental chatter so that you can be more present to receive what the other person is saying and hold space to them, you're also training your nervous system and your subconscious awareness to focus on your inhales and exhales so you no longer have those choppy breaths, which helps to, on an ongoing basis, shift you from fight or flight to rest and digest.
I love it. I'm sitting here breathing. That's why when you said that, I
Perfect.
started, I
Yeah.
was like, okay, wait, I'm gonna breathe. But it's true though. I mean, when you start focusing on those things and can be present in the moment and in the conversations, it is really changing. So thank you for leaving everyone with that. I hope everyone was able to take away something from today. Please reach out to Sam, get connected with him, look out for his book that's coming soon, and as well as all the other books you've written too. There's five others out there. But I will put everything in the show notes. And thank you again, Sam. I so appreciate you being here with all of us.
Thank you, Kat. This was fun, and I'm really enjoying connecting with you and seeing how this grows and continues. And thank you guys for checking this out.
Thank you for joining us today. If you know someone who could benefit from my message or our guest, don't hesitate to share this episode with them. Together, we can create a supportive community that embraces imperfection and is learning what makes us truly impactful. So until our next episode, keep celebrating your imperfections and cultivating self-acceptance. I believe in you.